just going back over this past week, there's been a little bit of reassessment in markets about the difficulty getting inflation down. It's not so much about what's been happening here. In fact, if anything, we've moved slightly in the opposite direction, but it's to do with the US. So the data that came out in the US last week, the January CPI, it's just starting to get bogged down a bit in terms of the reduction in the annual inflation rate. So the CPI came out, and the market was looking for 0.4% month-on-month on that. It came out at 0.5%. So as a result of that, the reduction in the annual inflation rate was marginal. It came down from 6.5% down to 6.4%. But it was inside the core CPI, and particularly some of the service prices, where it's just starting to hint that it's a longer battle to get inflation under control. So the core CPI, it came in at 0.4%, roughly where the market expected, but that brought back the annual inflation rate to 5.6 from 5.7. But service prices are escalating, and this was always going to be the risk in this because as we've come out of the pandemic, consumers everywhere have changed their spots. When they come out of lockdown, the first thing they go for is goods, and they spend their accumulated savings that they couldn't spend through the pandemic on goods. And then they move into the services sector. And as they start to buy into the services sector, then that tends to escalate the prices in those areas, and they tend to be a lot stickier. And so it's just showing some signs of service prices being somewhat stickier in the US at this point. And so that's just some making people focus. Yes, the Federal Reserve may be getting closer to the top, but it's still got some work to do. And one of the Fed governors even came out and said they should be moving back towards 50 basis point hikes to get on top, and gave a talk suggesting that it's always better to overshoot when you're trying to deal with a significant inflation problem. So just that starting to feed through. And it was there to a degree in one or two of the other bits and pieces of data that came out through the course of the week. Perhaps the most the one that really shows that the US is a bit more resilient than people were thinking came through with retail sales. Retail sales going back to November and December were showing some softening. So December retail sales, for example, both the headline and the core were down by 1.1% month on month for both of those. For January, we knew there was probably going to be a bounce because as inflation's come down in the US, one of the quirky effects is that real incomes have started to show some signs of improving. So you've actually got real income growth starting to come through as the rate of growth in household income there actually goes above the inflation rate. And so that's actually starting to foster more spending again. And you can see it there in January retail sales. January retail sales were expected to bounce by 1.6% month on month. They lifted by 3% month on month. And core retail sales, which were expected to go up by 0.7, lifted by 2.3%. So that's a fairly significant lift, and suggests that running through this first part of Q1, you're off to a flying start in terms of demand contributing to GDP. So no signs of the much feared recession there, if anything, rather the opposite. And so again, playing into that fear that we could be seeing that we could be seeing the Fed having to do more rather than less in the US. And it was there with the producer price index numbers that came out later in the week as well. So right towards the end of the week, we had the January producer price index came out, and that one was quite a bit above expectations. It was expected to rise by 0.4%. It rose by 0.7%. As a result of that, the annual producer price index rate, rather than being 5.4%, as the market expected, was 6%. So you still got that pipeline there, which is quite strong. And core producer prices, they were up 0.3%. They were expected to be up by 0.3% month on month. They rose by 0.5%. As a result of that, the annual rate was 5.4% rather than being the 4.9% the market was looking for. Yes, there's some softer numbers in the US as well, but some of them not quite so soft. For example, we had the New York Empire State Survey came out month of February. That was at a very weak minus 32.9 going back to the month of January. It actually improved. You can't really say it's an improvement when you've still got a negative sign on the front of it. It came back to minus 5.8, so that's quite a big change. And the story in the US is, you know, the goods sector is starting to feel it quite a bit because, you know, people are moving away from that spending towards services. And yeah, it was a similar story for the Philadelphia Fed survey, which came out late in the week as well. So February Philadelphia Fed survey was minus 24.3, and that was from minus 8.9 the month before. So some weakness in some of those numbers. But, you know, the other numbers... the other quirky number we had, though, for a lead indicator was the February National Association of Home Builders Index. That was at 35, going back to the month of January. Yeah, we thought it might lift a little to 36 or 37. It jumped to 42. That's not a strong reading yet, but a seven-point lift in 1 month is fairly significant. So, right at the very leading edge, you know, so home builders are getting a little bit more optimistic as well. So it's that sign that there's more work to be done by the Fed. Yeah, the economy is doing better than expected. In one way, that's good news, but it becomes bad news because it means that interest rates have to go higher to make sure that inflation comes down over time. This week, after a quiet start, it's President's Day holiday, Washington's birthday. Not that he's really celebrating that these days, but it's President Day's birthday, everything's closed for Monday. But as we go later in the week, some of the focal points, I think, are going to be one I didn't mention from last week, initial jobless claims, that's back down below 200,000, so still leading to views that the labour market's still very strong. People will probably watch that on Thursday. We have some manufacturing and services sector PMIs coming out. They come out on Tuesday. These are the old style ones for the month of February. If anything, the manufacturing PMI may lift a little, we think, to 47.3 from 46.9. And the services sector PMI, these are the old style ones, will maybe go up from 46.8 to 47.5. It's interesting the ISM one jumped into the mid-50s last month, so yeah, that might be an underestimate. We get some revised Q4 GDP. Q4 GDP, although running slower than Q3, was still up 2.9% annualized. We don't expect much of a revision to that. Later in the week, we get personal income, personal spending data for the month of January. Both of those are expected to be pretty strong. Personal income is expected to be up 0.9% month on month, and personal spending probably up about 1.3% month on month. So quite a deal of strength still running through those. And running with that, we'll get the core personal consumption expenditure prices. And you know, they still are running pretty strongly. Now, these are much lower than the CPI, but they are still running 0.3s, 0.4s a month, and that's way, way too high. So the market expectation for January is it'll be up 0.4%. That would only bring back the annual rate to 4.3% from 4.4%. The reason that the Fed looks at personal consumption expenditure prices rather than the CPI, CPI is a strange beast. They get weighted very rarely, particularly in the US. So as a result of that, they don't really reflect people's current spending. As prices go up, you know, people are sensible, and what they tend to do is they spend less on the items that are going up, and they try and find the items which are a good value, and they tend to shift their spending accordingly. Personal consumption expenditure deflators, they pick that up because they're related to what people are spending their money on at the moment. CPIs don't pick that up. And so that's where, you know, CPIs always tend to be a little bit strange, and you get the criticism that doesn't really reflect my particular cost of living. And there's some truth in that. So that's in the case of the US, the Fed's much more concerned with core personal consumption expenditure price deflators. China last week, the only data point we had was January house prices. They're still falling, down 1.5% year on year, same as the month before. So, you know, the adjustment going through the residential property sector there still occurring. That's still actually quite a weak sector, even though there's quite a number of policy initiatives aimed at trying to boost it. One problem that China has, which is significant relative to most other major economies, is that they had considerable overbuilding in the residential property sector over the course of the last few years. And so there is a chronic oversupply of housing. Now, that's rare compared with, you know, what we experience in other economies. So, you know, that's one of the issues which they will be trying to combat. And one of the reasons why, even with all the various initiatives changing in China towards more growth, yes, it will pick up, but it's probably not going to be a strong pickup running through the Chinese economy. We have no figures of real note coming out through the course of this week. Last week in Australia, we had several sentiment surveys. We had the National Australia Bank Business Conditions, Business Confidence Surveys. These are still pretty strong. Business conditions actually lifted from plus 13, that was revised from plus 12 the previous month, to plus 18. So that's actually quite a strong result, and suggests that, you know, Australian businesses are still relatively optimistic. And business confidence, which was at minus 1 the previous month, lifted to plus 6. So, you know, that survey still is reasonably strong. We then had February Westpac consumer sentiment, and after 2 months where we'd had some rises in the sentiment index, although the index number itself is still running at a pretty low level, we had quite a big fall for the most recent month. Not surprising. It came after the RBA's latest rate hike. It was down by 6.9%. So some hint there that, you know, maybe there's some softness ahead. And then we had sort of very interesting employment data. We had another fall. So we've had back-to-back falls now in employment. And in December, on revision, it was down 19,900. In January, down by 11,500. We're still up over 300,000 over the course of the past 12 months, but obviously that will come back. And also the unemployment rate lifted a little to 3.7% from 3.5%. Now, taken at face value, those numbers would hint at the possibility that the RBA's latest forecasts are a little bit too strong running through the labour market. For example, you know, on their latest economic forecasts, the RBA has the unemployment rate at 3.6% in June and 3.8% in December. Well, we're up at 3.7% in January. But there is a quirk in these numbers, and the Australian statistician noted it, and that was that this January, relative to previous Januaries, there were an unusually large number of people who were counted as unemployed who said that they were waiting to start new jobs, and an unusually large number of people who were between jobs who have a job to go to with some certainty, but they weren't working in the particular survey period. Among the other unusual features noted this year, an unusually large number of people who were employed were either not working at all in the survey period because they were on holiday, or, you know, sort of intended to start working again from late January. In other words, you know, the surge in people taking holidays this year has had some impact on the numbers. So, you know, we probably need to go a little while longer before we can see whether this is a significant change. But if it were taken at face value, there's some reason for the RBA to be a bit more optimistic about how easily it can get inflation down over the longer haul. And perhaps the litmus test of that will be when we get the Q4 wage price index, which comes out this Wednesday. This Wednesday, Q4 wage price index is expected to be up by 1%, 3.5% year on year, after being up 1%, 3.1% year on year the quarter before. If it comes in at expectation, it largely negates that softness that's running through the labour market, because wages are picking up too strongly, relatively. But if it comes in on the soft side of that expectation, then you know, you get into the territory where the Reserve Bank has to do less rather than more. Now, that's not the way that the Reserve Bank governor is talking at the moment. So we heard the Reserve Bank governor twice last week where he gave testimony before Parliament. He spoke about the difficulty of getting inflation down, why it's so important to get inflation down. You know, obviously, he was extensively cross-examined by the parliamentarians going back to Friday. But his message was fairly much on tune, which was, we still have more work to do. We still have to raise interest rates more. Yes, we're sorry that it's causing a lot of pain, but we can't stop, because if we left high inflation in the system, the cost of getting it down longer term would be much greater. And leaving high inflation in place is way more punishing for the lower income groups in society rather than higher income groups. You end up with greater disparity inside society, which is very bad over the longer term. So, you know, those are the key messages that, you know, he was still pushing as he went through. So at this stage, they're still on track to do, you know, two or three more rate hikes. But there is a hint in those labour force readings that they may change their forecast, and they may change them in a way that mean that, you know, that expectation may need to be changed at some point. So watching it very, very carefully, and the key near-term indicator of this will be what this wage price index does when it comes out on Wednesday this week. We also get some more Q4 data coming out. This is construction work done and also private capital expenditure data. They, if anything, probably picked up in Q4. They're going to be positive contributors to the Q4 GDP reading here. That comes out on the 1st of March here. So Q4 construction work done, it was up by 2.2% compared to Q3. It's probably up another 1.5% for Q4. And Q4 private capital expenditure, it was down 0.6% in Q3, probably up 1.1% for Q4. So positive contributions to GDP, we think, when that comes out on Wednesday, the 1st of March. The other central bank to watch this week, we've got the RBNZ midweek, they're already at 4.25%, and it's fairly certain they're going to do 50 basis points, so they'll be taking their cash rate up to 4.75%. Going to Europe, and last week in Europe, we just had some revised Q4 GDP data. There was no revision. It's still looking okay. So Q4 GDP rose by 0.1% quarter on quarter. No surprise in that, because that's what it was in the preliminary figures. And as a result of that, the year-on-year is 1.9%. Just going back a while, Europe's done better than expected through the course of their winter, and most of it's down to how they've adjusted to higher energy prices. You've got some manufacturers in Europe who are using 25% less energy than was expected in most forecasts going through the winter months. Part of that's down to the weather too, because the weather's been mostly very, very mild all the way. In fact, in some cases, unusually warm all the way through the winter period. So that's sort of helped to reduce the demand for energy, and has generated what are now sort of improving expectations for the European economy as we look ahead. They had industrial production figures, as is the case elsewhere around the world. Goods producers, the ones who are feeling a bit of a downturn. So December industrial production was down by 1.1% after being up 1.4% in November. But Europe's trade balance is actually improving rather than deteriorating as many people feared. So it came down, the trade deficit in Europe, to 8.8 billion euro. It was expected to be 21 billion euro. And that's down from 11.6 billion euro the month before. So, you know, that's a sign of global growth not being quite as weak as expected too, that trade balance proving rather more positive. This week in Europe, we get mostly things like manufacturing PMIs, service sector PMIs. If anything, they're going to be improving. So the manufacturing PMI, when it comes out this week, is expected to improve to 49.3 from 48.8. The services sector PMI got back above 50 in January. That's the expansion contraction line. It was at 50.8, expected to improve a little bit more to 51. And almost all around the world, it's the services sector we're watching at the moment, because the rump residual strong demand is still running very much through the services sector. And of course, services sector tend to employ they're more employment intensive. It tends to keep these labour markets very, very tight. So just watching some of those conditions. But pretty quirky, because in the case of the US at the moment, people are a bit more worried about the central bank and what it may do. Here, we're watching the data, but for a different reason. We've just got these little hints here that there could be some softness. And if that's the case, then although the Reserve Bank is currently still talking very, very tough, its forecasts could be on the cusp of changing again, even though they've just bought them out. And it will be a change towards the positive, which is, you know, they can get on top of inflation a bit earlier than mid-2025. And as a result of that, it could potentially change the trajectory of what happens with the cash rate. But for the time being, cash rate forecast is unchanged at two or three more to go, which takes us to 385 or 4.1 at the peak, and it's staying there for a little while, but you're just watching it with the way in which the data is moving.